Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
How we spend our days, of course, is how we spend our life. Annie Dillard laying out the obvious for us to obviously know how our life comes to its sum total at the end is by what we do with our time. And for Americans between the ages of 20 and 65, we will spend about 90,000 hours, a third of our time working, about 8 hours and 8 minutes a day. And in the experience of that work, what happens in our life? How do we feel about what our life is accomplishing through our work? The scripture has a great deal to say from Genesis to Revelation about the importance of our labor. It's not a how-to manual in figuring out your life path of work, but it is the why-for pattern of why we work. That is, if you look at Scripture, it will mention the trades and the crafts of people. They were fishermen and they were silversmith makers. They were farmers. They were shepherds. There were people in the marketplace. People who had positions like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea of influence in society. And it would just sprinkle a modifier, a descriptor about their work, and then talk about them as a character, as a person, and talk about how they lived their faith. That's the heart of it. And that's really the focus for us. And so in April, bringing a message out of the scriptures about our faith and our work, our life and our work. Truth is, though, that is part of our work call, and it's essential. One of the ways that we can pray for each other is on Sunday evening, getting ready for Monday morning. Those Sunday evening blues can set in because Monday morning's coming. Some are very excited about what waits for them in the marketplace of the work, and others are, God, do I need to do this again? I mean, TGIF got a name for a purpose. Thank God it's Friday. I made it through another week. But there's that work, which is essential. And it is how we can pray and encourage. And my prayer, my hope, is that in the midst of our song and message series in April, you will feel the shaping of God in renewing you into that work call. But there's also the work of your everyday relationships with family and with your friends, in your neighborhood, in the places of your volunteer across the San Antonio region. And through the ministries of Trinity Baptist Church, that's the calling of your spiritual gifts. It's the calling of your talents being dedicated unto the Lord. And so I'll be speaking in both directions in each of the sermons to let the message come through for us, and I pray that it will find its connect for you. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote both the passages that the sisters, Megan and April, who read our scripture for us today, the Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. That was his calling. That was his life direction. It was his purpose. But he also had a job that he could set up wherever he went when he needed to earn money, a paycheck, to help supplement the work that he was called to do. He was a tent maker, and he was a good tent maker. Of course, in the Roman Empire, there was the supply and demand. There was a need for tents because it was a natural form of setting up shop in the marketplace or living while you're making a journey from Caesarea to Nazareth, where you're making a journey from Rome to Milan. While you're making a journey along the way, these tents were a part of that travel, and so he could mend the tents, and he could make new tents. And he was good at it because in the marketplace, you only get rewarded if you can actually make the product that people want. But what did he do? His customers, who were strangers, became friends. And friends became people that he shared what was important. His customers, who became friends, brought their hunger for life's meaning. They brought their desire to be loved when they met with Paul. And in knowing that, he knew how to connect that message. Test case is, when Paul first arrived on European soil after his vision to cross into Europe, he met a woman by the name of Lydia, who was by the river there in Philippi. Now, why did he go there? Because that's where the working people would gather. She was a very successful maker of the purple dye, the most costly form of the dye in the day of Paul. And so he met her there, and while he's talking about tent making and she's talking about making purple dye, he begins to talk with her about the hunger of life and the promise of Christ. And she becomes a believer. And then it says that Lydia and all her household committed to Christ. Her household then would be all the people who worked with her. It's easy to picture then, when you go to Philippi, her gathering everybody together and saying, I want you to know I've discovered the meaning of life, and I want to share this meaning of life with you through Christ Jesus. And through the belief that happened, then that became it became a household of faith. It became an anchor of faith in Philippi that then went into the marketplace and created change. It created the change of a social justice, where a woman who was caught up in human trafficking, she was being sold by the goods of her life. And she was set free because in the marketplace, Christians were saying, you can't do that. Now, that's a story and illustration coming right out of the scripture that does the integration. And so my encouragement as your friend and pastor is when you read those scriptures, connect the dots, see the message, and then ask, Lord, how do you want me to do this within my life and my work and my place? And of course, as Debbie was connecting for all of her children, that workplace is school. It's in the classroom. It's in working with your coworkers. That's the other students in your classroom. Now, there's the work also that we're to do at home in our relationships. I have kept this in my Bible for years. This is something that Vicki wrote for all the family when Rachel was still in high school. And it reads, Rules for Keeping a Clean Kitchen. For Stephen, Ryan, Rachel, Vicki, and, of course, Leslie. Pay attention. Better late than never, 9 rules. She lays out kind of basic principles of what it means. Rinse your dishes, stack the dishes neatly on the cabinet, keep the sink clean, wipe and dry the tabletop, pick up, sweep, or vacuum your crumbs on the floor, daily remove your mail, notes, personal items. If trash is full, empty it and put in a new plastic bag in the trash container. Pitch in and help when the dishwasher needs unloading or loading. And 9, help your friends do the same at our house and their house. Okay. Message delivered, message received. It's a sense that there is a work of what it means to be a family. The word economy comes from the Greek. It comes from the New Testament. The work from economy is the same word for a household. Same word in the understanding that like Lydia and all of her household, or like for us in our household, we are building the economy of relationships. We're working together in the purpose then and direction for our life. Now we celebrated remarkably last Sunday. Thanks be to God in Easter. Powerful worship, powerful experience of the Holy Week happening. And of course, the Sunday after Easter is referred to as low attendance Sunday. And I want you to know, I am so proud of you. You are here as Easter people on the Sunday after Easter. You are the sign of the resurrection. You're the power of the presence of Christ going forward in the experience of worship and being the people of God. You're an Easter people serving on the front lines in the Christian movement. So while working, don't lose sight of your life purpose by seeing that your work has divine purpose. That means when you wake up in the morning, you may be going to a workplace, but your life work has already begun when you wake up in the morning. Here's why. God has given you a calling to live, and for a time on earth, you are to live that calling. Just the purpose of being here in light of His being your Creator and your Lord. He has given everyone at least one talent, if not several talents. So when I'm greeting you as you come in the door, some of you will say to me, Pastor, I'm glad you finally found your talent. I said, I'm glad there's one thing I can do. I can greet you at the door. But we all have a talent or several talents. Be good stewards of that by doing 2 things. Form abilities that go with your talent and form skills that sharpen your abilities. Call talent, abilities, and skills. Someone can be talented to become a basketball player, but unless he or she works to form the abilities to shoot, play defense, rebound, pass, dribble, the person will never take that talent into this piece of forming the ability or specific skills that go with that. In our life, God wants us to take seriously that He loved us so much that He created purpose and design for us, and that in part is fleshed out by our talent, a talent used within our life. Colossians, the book of Colossians, in which Paul wrote, he said this word in verse chapter 2, verses 23. Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work it from the soul, putting out your best effort as something done for God, not for men alone. In the Middle Ages, there was a guy called Brother Lawrence. He lived in the midst of a community of believers. His responsibility in that community of believers was to wash dishes. Think it's a throwaway responsibility, but it wasn't. He wrote a book that's a classic that has influenced millions of people through the ages. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. He took his responsibility of washing the dishes for the people in the community, and he used that time to pray and to sing and to think about the people who were in the community. And he realized that he was practicing that presence of God. When a responsibility comes your way, God wants you to lift it up to Him, and it may seem like a throwaway thing, but it's a can-do thing in light of Him. When we moved to our home here in San Antonio, my job is I take out the trash. I make sure I put a plastic bag in after I do that. So I'm out in the alley, and I'm doing my trash, and what do I see? But I see other people. And while I'm taking care of the trash, and I meet my neighbors, and we visit, and we talk. And then out of that conversation, we kind of build relationships that go from there. But, you know, I've had to learn along the way, and if I just was taking out the trash, kind of grumbling the whole time, I mean, who wants to talk to a grumbler? There are enough of those in the world. And I lose sight of what it can be. But eyes open to a larger purpose, that's what the work does. It always connects us to this larger purpose. Now, here's the story on the Sunday after Easter. This is exactly why Christ came into the world and gave us the gift of salvation. That is Christ's work for us. In Colossians 2:12, he put it this way. Having been buried with him in baptism, that's the story, we're buried in the water in baptism like Christ was in the grave. You were raised with him through your faith in the working of God. God working salvation in your life. He has raised Christ from the dead as a sign of the power over death. He has raised you in baptism to walk in a new life that includes all of your calling, your talent, your abilities, and your skills dedicated unto Him. So number one, God calls us and gives us talent. Shaping our talents into abilities and skills is partnering with God, and that takes intentional time. It takes the sense of the awareness that this has got to serve some purpose, some great purpose. How many of us made it through high school? Well, I want to ask for hands on that one. But maybe we made it through high school and then we ask, you know, how am I ever going to use this subject? You know, fill in the blank. It was chemistry, it was physics, it was math, it was playtime. And yet, if we would pay attention to what that moment was, God would say, you'll be surprised. There is a purpose if you will connect this moment to your life character. I will utilize that which is good that's happening into a direction that your life will be able to connect that as a meaning into the lives of others. There's no throwaway moment with God. I mean, you probably have your bimodal thinking going right now and you're kind of doing like, what's your to-do list for the week? Well, what's on your to-do list for the week? And then think about your to-do list for the week and first pray through to make sure what's on your to-do list should be on your to-do list. And probably, if we're each really committed and connected in our calling of life, there's one or two things on our to-do list that's beyond our ability of what we can do right now. We're going to have to grow this week. We're going to have to step into a challenge where we're not exactly sure where the answers are going to come from. But with every problem, there's a promise because God's a promise maker and a promise keeper. If we will give that problem to Him and commit ourselves to be part of His problem to work itself out. In Ephesians 2:10, this same Paul getting the message across, this time to the church at Ephesus. So you realize we're talking about it. Wherever Paul went, he was talking about work. Thessaloniki, Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae. Here in Ephesus, this kind of Greek culture mecca, he says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And you've got the word now. There's no retirement from this. There may be a retirement from that job from age 20 to age 65, but there's no retirement from this, and that's a good thing. Because in this good news, that means your whole life is a calling of God, a vocation, a vocari, a calling of God to do his good works within the world, however you are. Now, both Gene and Sam Dawson have given me permission in the past to share this story. When Sam was deciding about his life career and praying through that, he thought seriously about vocational ministry. And so he and his dad went on the back porch, and he was sharing this with his dad. And Gene listened to his son, and then he said, Sam, I like to think that the work that we do in our engineering firm can also be a ministry, can also be a work for God. And God's calling for Sam in that time in his life, then that's where he stepped into. And it's part of one of Texas' largest engineering firms. But what his dad said to him was right on target for all of us. That is that whatever our work talent can be used, dedicated unto the Lord, that we live each day in the name of Christ, then it may serve that great purpose, that purpose. Now, maybe where you go to work on Monday morning is the last place you want to be. I had a friend by the name of Jack. He was a salesman. He was a rep. When we lived in Kentucky, and I would particularly connect with Jack on some Sunday evenings because he was a recovering alcoholic and Sunday night blues hit hard. Because in his workplace, his boss was requiring for him to fudge on his business expense reports. He didn't want to do it, but he was being forced by his boss to do that. And he knew that he was into another week of just trying to negotiate the compromise of his character. Eventually, it led to Jack leaving that workplace. It almost destroyed his character and returned him to active alcoholism. But the sense of what I felt in him was the strength of his faith, the shaking literally of his body before the temptations that work was going to present to him and his wanting to honor God by his choices. And the courage that he put forth in those moments, in that stretch of his life, honored the Lord. He and his wife and Rosalie opened up a country store in Little Finchfield, Kentucky, and helped build community for Shelby County. The sense of keeping an eye on the larger picture of what God is wanting to show. Now, work, number two, work is a human effort. It's to accomplish the spiritual end. Keep your eye on God's bigger picture. That is, if we only have a remote control and a soft sofa where we're going to spend our off hours, then we're going to lose a lot of what our life is about. Now, we all need our sofa time, and it's pretty good to have control over the controller if nobody else in the family wrestles it away from you. But that is not where the meaning of life is found. It's where relaxation can be found, muted on commercials, those who still watch commercials, muted on commercials, and talk to who's in the room with you. And then bring it back onto the show. See, it's all about relationships of wherever we are, the work of our relationships. When you come home at the end of a work day, your car makes it back to the driveway. You haven't finished the work day, have you? You have family and you have friends, people you're relating to. You have ministries. You have pieces where you're going to connect with your talent. As you just shifted from one workplace to the next workplace. And all of this puts a smile on God's face. All of this is a way of describing what the Lord says. Now, as you follow me, wherever you are, you can let Christ be made known by being honest and truthful. You can be known by putting in a good, honest day's work. And you can honor me, and people will see you and think, there goes somebody who's caught my attention because of the character he or she has in the workplace. Now, that's eternal stuff. That's the stuff that's never forgotten in the kingdom of God. Which is why Jesus then said in Matthew 11, that those three verses that we absolutely adore because we feel adored by Christ as we say them. But note what's in these verses. He says to us, read the first verse to me, the first two lines. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, does he say to us, you never have to work again? No. What he says to us is, I'm going to renew your relationship with work by updating your relationship with me. Because then in verse 29, he says, take my yoke. Now, the yoke is what an oxen would wear in order to pull the plow in an open field. And so the yoke represents the work. Take my yoke, Jesus' yoke as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior into the world. Let your relationship with me then shape your life work. Take my work yoke upon you and learn from me. Be humble and gentle, and you'll find rest for your souls. My prayer is that you find rest for your souls in worship today. That is, if you move into this evening, God will take some of this scripture and help bring ease to the yoke that you have. For what does Jesus then say? Because when we do this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because it fits in relationship with the Christ. Three, the work stretches us into God's creation. To think that you are God's handiwork, God is seeking to show the world about his wonder and his majesty by showing people you. How you looking? Are you showing the wonder of God by who you are? That you're God's handiwork. You're his showpiece. And he says, trust me and let me shape you with that, this new creation. And then God trusts us with responsibility, and the responsibility to do it well. That's a way of saying what work is. It's human effort to honor God. Human effort to put our lives into action that honors God. And so when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, 5:17, once again, he's writing this message to the broad Roman Empire. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation where the old has gone and the new has come. Now, if you go to any of these towns today, you'll find that they have done the archaeological dig of the marketplace, and you can easily picture new believers coming to faith in Christ, going to the marketplace to do their work, and picturing also Paul being right there in the middle of them, either in tent making or connecting in teaching and mentoring. That's the power about this faith and work. God wants you to be encouraged by his calling in your life and the talents he's given you. And if the world has beaten you down, just let him reshape his yoke upon you. And hear him whisper into your ear, you're a winner. You can do this. It may be that your boss doesn't have enough generosity of heart or eyes of courage to see, to be able to say to you, I'm proud of you. But you're an Easter person. And working with purpose and passion, you're rewarded with a voice of Jesus saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. When we work unto the Lord, then we are working for the highest purpose. Or as Howard Butt would say, our high calling. Hear the Lord say to you this morning, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, we come in our love commitment, knowing that life takes effort, and effort is work, but it's good work on the whole. It's good work that you can give us kind of our purpose. Not that we get lost in titles and labels and companies or positions, but just because of you, that you trust us with a talent. Let us be renewed then, so that where we get a paycheck may be where we do our best work, or maybe we get a paycheck by doing honest work and we do our other best work and other areas of our life. Let it be that we now will bring our whole self to you and all of our work to you in this invitation. By Christ, amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.